direction in a sea of chaos. Welcome to Abounding Grace. Us now with Pastor Chris Gordon as we open the Word of God.
So grateful that you've tuned in today to Abounding Grace Radio. As we have been doing the past few weeks, I want to inform you of a course that I will be lecturing at the Reformed Bible College during their winter course semester at the Aldergrove Canadian Reformed Church beginning at January 13 at 7:30 p.m. Go to rbcollege.com and register for the course. It'll be a 12-week course through the Gospel of John, so we will really go in depth in light of everything that we've been studying on Abounding Grace. It'll be a great time. Love to get to know you and meet you, so turn out and join us for the course. Well, we're concluding today the long section we have studied together in John chapter 6. Jesus' teachings have been hard. They have been hard to understand for people. He has stepped it up, and that is what is pictured here. Jesus is contrasting that reality of people who are about to walk away, who do not want to follow him. And in fact, they do that. They walk away from Jesus. We read that after he said, "Therefore I have said to you, no one can come to me unless it has been granted to him by my Father." From that time, many of his disciples went back and walked with him no more. Remember, there were 5,000 at the beginning of this chapter. Now there are just 12 left. He turns to his own and he says, "Do you also want to go away?" You know, what a powerful section. Many walk away from Jesus. And Jesus says here, "Those given to me by my Father, I'm going to keep to the end. I'm not going to lose one of them. Only those will come to me of whom the Father has granted that they may come, and I will raise them up at the last day." So, you know, what a powerful section here. You know Peter's answer. You know, "Lord, to whom else should we go? Could we go? Shall we go?" Before I unpack his answer, can we put that question before us this morning? Just for a moment. Knowing our context, what if Jesus had turned to you and said, "Everyone's walked away. Do you also want to go away?" Doesn't that statement somewhat presuppose that Peter stopped and thought about it for a minute? Where else could he have gone? Where else could you go today? Because, you know, what Jesus says here is challenging. I mean, he's a stone of stumbling and a rock of offense. It's sad today that the messages of Christ's servants don't really offend much of anyone. Jesus' sermons did. His teachings were immensely offensive. You know, he's going to say in the next chapter, "I testify that the world's works are evil." It's not about having greatness in you, as we hear. It's not about you reaching your great potential. No, Jesus' message was, "You're so wicked, you have no ability to come to God, your heart is desperately wicked, every aspect of your life must be given to him, and you are to cast yourself, to delight yourself in his body and blood, finding satisfaction in whatever circumstance of life, in sickness and in health, in life and in death, trusting him." That's hard for us. Hard for us. Now, if that question were then posed to you, where might you go? Where could you go today? Well, if Peter were here in our day and asked this, his options would be what? Well, got one place he could go. This Jesus is not keeping our Jewish traditions. And that's what happened. Many walked away from him because why? He did not keep their traditions. And Jesus is going to say, "You're going to keep searching for your Messiah and you're going to die in your sins." You could do that today. You could walk away and you could, because you're mad that certain traditions are not being preserved, you could walk away from him. You could walk away from it all, right? Rejecting that there is a God. Many have done that. They become atheists. There is no God. Are they satisfied people? Are they filled people? Do they have any answers? Are they have joy and peace? You could turn to a pagan god, a god that you have to pacify to be accepted, an angry god. And we have a lot of false gods in this world to which you could run. Now, here's the real challenge. Peter could walk away from this Jesus and today turn to a lighter, kinder, nicer Jesus that doesn't say stuff like this, that accepts lifestyles that this Jesus of John 6 wouldn't, that doesn't condemn anyone, that doesn't cause doctrinal divides, and who wants to listen to doctrine that's just going to cause fights and divide families, you know? You could find a Jesus today being preached somewhere that forgives everyone, that never condemns, doesn't condemn lifestyles, that says, whatever you do, follow your heart, I'll accept it. In fact, you could go find a Jesus that believes that teaches the exact opposite of what the Jesus of John 6 teaches here. This isn't about God choosing anyone. You know, Jesus says here, I said to you, no one can come to me unless it has been granted to him by my Father. You could find a Jesus that says something else, right? You could create a Jesus. You could have preachers preach a different Jesus, you know, that says, no, the choice is up to you. You are good enough to have the ability in your own free will. You know, Paul had to chide the Corinthians for saying that they put up with a different Jesus being preached. Read 2 Corinthians 11. You know, Peter could, if he were standing before us today, and Jesus said, do you want to leave? He could go find a Jesus that promises health, wealth, and prosperity, and who says you don't have to suffer. You don't have to face affliction. You don't have enough faith if you're facing those things. Here's my point. Do you realize all the different Jesuses you have to choose from today? They didn't have all these different places and false Jesuses in the first century. We have a buffet, make your own style Jesus today. We have an American Jesus. You know, think about it. You have your tailor-made Jesus movement today. But there's a crucial problem. They are not the Jesus of John 6. And you know, I get this all the time. I get people who come up and ask, you know, how? There's so many different ways, so many different ideas, so many different thoughts. How do I know what's right? Well, none of those that I mentioned could offer you a savior that can really save you from your sins, that really satisfy the deep longing of your souls. And the sad fact is that many have left the Jesus of the Bible, and they have found one that correlates with the mindset of the Jews in John 6, a Jesus who exists to satisfy your own carnal desires. What a mess. You see what the devil has done today? He's given you all sorts of alternate routes, all sorts of alternate roads to a different Jesus with a different message. We would never pick in our sinful natures the Jesus of John 6, who offends, who drives away, who says, does this cause you to stumble? Who says, don't worry, you can't come to me unless the Father grants it. See what Satan has done? Oh no, there's a nicer Jesus over here. But you see, here's the beautiful truth. This is why election is so important to embrace. It's the beautiful truth of John 6. The Father will have a number so great that will be granted to come, and he will instruct them and he will bring them to the true Jesus, the true God and man, the one who is equal with God. And you know what's going to happen in their lives? They're going to be satisfied. They're going to be filled. They will have a deep hunger for spiritual words. So Jesus says to the 12 here, do you also want to go away? Want to go to a different Jesus? Want to go somewhere else? Peter says, Lord, to whom shall we go? You have the words of eternal life. And we've come to believe and to know that you are the Christ, the Son of the living God. We believe you. We know you. Your words may be hard. You may confront our lives. You may expose sin in us. You may confront us. You may show us the deep depravity going on there. But where else could we turn? These are the words of God. I can't help but to think, in light of everything he said in John 6, what he really means is that he has come to know and believe in this Christ as the Son of God. He was saying that we believe that you are indeed God. To say the Son of God is to say he has equality with God. Peter was saying, we've come to know and believe, we've come to be filled with you as the only one who can satisfy our souls. You know why I'm so deeply consoled by this statement? Because when Jesus asked Peter about who he was, and Peter said, you are the Christ, the Son of the living God, Jesus said, blessed are you, Simon Bar-Jonah. Flesh and blood has not revealed that to you. You didn't do that by your own free will. He says, but the Father who is in heaven has given that to you. He's done that for you. What does that mean today? You know what it means today? To all those who are listening who've come to Christ, who know Christ, who believe Christ, and have been taught by God, can say, we can't leave this, Jesus. It's unthinkable. That's the point. Christ has drawn them. They can't go anywhere else. There are two people referenced here in close of John 6. You know who they are? Peter and Judas. You know Judas will betray Christ, but Peter will deny Christ three times. Remember what Christ said to Peter before it happened? And the Lord said, Simon, Simon, indeed, Satan has asked for you that he may sift you as wheat. But I've prayed for you that your faith should not fail. And when you've returned to me, strengthen your brethren. Life following Christ is going to have many ups and downs. But what has been given to you, Christ just said, will not be taken. Christ has promised that all those who believe in him, confess him, no amount of tribulation and hardship will ever result in just one of them losing their faith. Through it all, they will cling, they will believe, they will know, and they will satisfy themselves in Christ. When they fall, they will return. Yes, there will be periods of fall, but those who are given by the Father, Christ has prayed for it, their faith would not fail. They will return. That's far different today, dear radio listener, than someone like Judas, who hears the truth and has not come, who finds the words of Jesus Christ hard and refuses to believe them, who dislikes this kind of Jesus. What's my prayer for these types? I know you can't come unless the Father permits it. I know you'll remain a miserable, complaining fighter and departer in the heart as you follow at a distance like those in John 6. But you know, that was all of us until grace came. It's not hopeless for you. Jesus never meant John 6 to be a hopeless chapter, but to press upon us the wonders and the power of sovereign grace. So what do I say to those who are listening today and are contemplating walking away from Christ? I say what Christ said repeatedly in his ministry. In the 37th verse of the next chapter, chapter 7, on the last day, that great day of the feast, Jesus stood and cried out, saying, if anyone thirsts, let him come to me and drink. He who believes in me, as the scripture has said, out of his heart will flow rivers of living water. I say what Jesus said, come, drink, be satisfied. Know today what the satisfying life of Christ is like. And you know what the assurance is he gives you? He promises today he will keep you until the end. Abounding Grace Radio is brought to you by the United Reformed Church of Linden. We are a church that sincerely delights to preach the Word of God, expository preaching through the Bible in season and out of season. Join us for worship 10 a.m. and 6 p.m. on the Lord's Day. Visit us on the web at lindenurc.com. Give us a call, 360-318-0429. Thanks for tuning in today. May the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ continue to richly bless you.